Okay, good morning. My background is actually in computing, and my research areas previously have been philosophy of technology and philosophy of mind. So it's somewhat of a departure for me to be considering issues to do with race, and I'd like to thank the organizers of this event to allow me to present these ideas, which are essentially in the process of development. They're not fully worked out. When considering the difference that makes a difference, or a difference that makes a difference, possibly along sociological or philosophical dimensions, one might consider, for example, class or gender. But I've chosen to focus on race because it's an area that I think hasn't received sufficient attention, specifically in the context of the study of information and communication technologies. This is a broad outline of what I propose to present, albeit somewhat briefly, in this presentation. As I said, my background is in philosophy of technology, but I also studied for some years continental philosophy, and so the idea of hermeneutics or interpretation is something I'm quite familiar with, and it's a framework that I want to use, or at least try to develop, in exploring the interrelationship between information or information theory and critical race theory. I'll briefly present two concepts of information and show their possible relevance for exploring critical race theory. And essentially the framework is reflexive in the sense that I want to consider how we could look at race from an information theoretical perspective and the flip side, look at information from a race theoretical perspective, and also just point briefly to some future work. Okay, so as I've said, the framework is reflexive, and the objective is to explore the differences made by, or the effects that result from, relating the concept of information and the concept of race through their shared use of the concept of difference. Now, all those uses of the definite article need to be qualified. I'm not saying that there is one concept of race, one concept of information, or one concept of difference. And methodologically, it's essentially a hermeneutic circle, that we need to simultaneously consider both issues in order to explore the effects that may result therefrom. As we've heard throughout this conference, there are multiple concepts of information. I think one of the presenters previously listed, 25 different approaches to information. I mean, we could appeal to Fleury's philosophical approach to information. We've heard numerous references to Shannon's mathematical theory of information or theory of communication. But the two that I want to focus on go back to Gregory Bateson and also Hans Christian von Baer in his book on information. So just briefly, for Bateson, information, or rather the elementary unit of information, is a difference that makes a difference. I mean, that should be familiar to everybody attending this event. And interestingly, in Steps to an Ecology of Mind, he says that a difference is certainly not a thing or an event. Rather, it is an abstract matter. Now, the idea of abstraction is also featured in numerous discussions thus far at this workshop. And in the world of communication and organization, this abstract matter, whose essence can be shown to lie in form and pattern, can bring about effect, so it's causal. That's the crucial point. It's a difference that makes, or if you like, causes a difference. And these are some of the ideas associated with the thinking of von Baer in his book, Information, the New Language of Science. Information must be understood as both information and as information. That is, as involving both the transmission of meaning and the transfer of form. And he unpacks that term by referring to ideas like arrangement, configuration, order, organization, pattern, shape, structure, and relationship. And those are extremely important associations. He also says that the meaning of a message arises out of the relationship of the individual symbols that make it up. And we've heard repeated reference to the idea of interactivity and relationship and structure during this workshop. So first of all, attempting to look at race from an information theoretical perspective. The problem is, what is race? There's a absolutely explosive literature on the subject that goes back literally centuries. I mean, you're talking, in terms of the Western philosophical tradition, you're potentially going back to at least, say, the 18th century. And it depends how you want to address this issue, you know, in terms of a scientific concept of race, cultural concept, or pre-scientific concept, looking at in terms of religious thinking, for example. But I think a consensus has broadly emerged now that scientific concepts of race are broadly discredited, and that race is really nothing more than a social construct. But when I say nothing more, it's not as if it's just a purely conceptual entity, because it has causal impact in the world. In other words, it's a social construct that has potential socio-political implications, amongst others. Generally, there's a view that race is based on physical characteristics. So, I mean, the obvious one is, for example, color. But there are other associations to do with, you know, culture and other properties, which might not necessarily lend themselves to a kind of formulation in physical or material terms. But that's a kind of working definition. And I think a really good case can be made that race has a genealogical relationship to racism. So it's not that race is some kind of neutral classification that just happens to have a kind of historical development, but rather that it emerged in the context of a specific set of contingent social, political, and economic circumstances. And so I'm looking at race through the lens of racism as practice, as praxis, as behavior, and in terms of power relations fundamentally. But what is racism? One possible definition is that it's prejudice and power, and you need the two together for it to manifest causally. And interestingly, racism is usually conceived in individualistic terms, and one could differentiate various individualistic positions along two kind of strands. One is that it's essentially a moral, attitudinal, intentional, volitional stance taken by the individual vis-a-vis their relations with members of different groups. However, other accounts privilege the cognitive dimension, so it's to do with beliefs rather than mere moral posture or attitudinal stance. But recently there have been some quite interesting and, in my opinion, quite convincing critiques of the individualist approach to racism. For example, racism can exist in a purely structural or pattern-based capacity, that is, in terms of differentially embedded power relations that are at least not explicitly intentional. In other words, one could be practicing racism without actually knowing that one is practicing it, or without any prejudicial attitudes. So patterns of discrimination and or domination associated with racial difference shouldn't be understood as the exceptional behavior of individuals deviating from a social norm, but rather as providing the very basis of a global political system. That's quite a radical claim, because essentially it's saying, don't look at race as something, or racism as a practice of the individual, but rather as a systemic background of a political system. And this idea goes back to the work of political philosopher Charles W. Mills, who formulates racism as, in terms of global white supremacy. It's a political system. If you think of the social contract, or the myth of the social contract, as a kind of horizontal relationship between people, what he calls the racial contract is actually orthogonal to that, a vertical relation. And he describes it as a particular power structure or formal or informal rule, socioeconomic privilege, and norms for the differential distribution of material wealth and opportunities, benefits and burdens, rights and duties. Based on three claims, the existential claim is that white supremacy, both local and global, exists and has existed for many years. A conceptual claim that it can be thought of as a political system. And a methodological claim is that white supremacy can be theorized as a contract, a racial contract. And this goes back to the European contractarian tradition associated with figures like Hobbes, Locke, Rousseau, and most importantly, Immanuel Kant. Now, we don't have time to get into that, but that's, and apparently, you know, that's to be read as one statement. There are no full stops in that whatsoever. It takes a while to parse that. But the important points are the ones that I've actually emboldened, the idea of shifting criteria, shifting markers by which one can characterize or designate race, the notion of the person, historical circumstances that change, and differential privileging. And the points I'd like to sort of pull out from that, and a really crucial point, is that you've got to think about the racial contract as not something that actually physically existed as a document, but rather as a methodological claim about how society is structured. And Mills claims that at the time of signing the racial contract, a very limited number of racial differences were intentionally selected by those responsible for establishing the modern racial world system. Now, that's significant if you think about Bateson's description of information in terms of a selection of differences from the differences that are possible. Now, the crucial point is that the racial contract is political, moral, and epistemological, and it's this epistemological dimension that actually impacts on issues to do with cognition, the selection of facts, and what counts as information, but also what counts as mis- or disinformation. Again, the link back to Bateson, there are an infinite number of differences associated with a thing. Information refers to a very limited number of such differences selected from this infinite set. I don't have time to actually look at the flip side in this hermeneutic circle, which is essentially looking at information from the perspective of race, but I'd just like to conclude this part of it by essentially arguing that to the extent that information is concerned with differences that make a difference and involves a process of informing, that's the transmission of meaning, which can in fact turn out to be a process of mis- or disinforming, it might be argued that the establishment and maintenance of the racial contract constitute information processes. And this actually links back to the idea of von Baer, his conception of information. But we can also think of racism as a process. So we have changing definitions of race. One of the leading figures in race theory at this institution was Stuart Hall, who talked about race as a floating signifier. We might talk about it as a shape-shifting entity. We also have changing compositions of racial groups, changing definitions of racial difference. And importantly, race is a series of taxonomies. Now, that's important because looking at race from the perspective of information theory, we can go back to Bateson's steps in the ecology of mind and a statement where he says there are differences between differences. Every effective difference denotes a demarcation, a line of classification, and all classification is hierarchic. So that introduces the idea potentially of power relations. In other words, differences are themselves to be differentiated. So racial formation is an ongoing and ever-changing process. It's not something fixed. And to the extent that information is concerned with differences that make a difference, it involves a process of informing, the idea of a formation. It might be argued that the series of taxonomies or successive systems of hierarchical classification associated with the process of racial formation, what's described as racialization, constitutes an informational process, and again, that links us back to von Baer. Thanks.